How great is our God.
Amen.
How great is our God. God, we're before you this morning. We're not, it's just good to be here, God. To be in your presence, to worship you, to love you. You deserve all the praise and all the glory. Thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming to get us. Thank you for rescuing us when we're walking away from you. You don't give up. You just keep coming. And you deserve all the praise and all the glory. And what you have started, you will finish. Thank you. Thank you for being so lovely, so loving, so lovable. Pray this morning that you could help to lift up our eyes to see who you are and how worthy you are of our praise. Amen. Sorry, I am very emotional this morning, which is very unusual for a British man. Amen to God. Yeah, it's good. It all started when we had our Young People's Lord's Table. I was so moved. It doesn't have to be a large number. Just a small number. We were gathered there together and just singing our thanks to God. And my heart was just so thankful to him. So, amen. I'm happy that we have these opportunities to worship the Lord together. We're going to talk this morning. We're in the book of Exodus. And we have crossed the Red Sea. And we're going to share a little bit more. This morning, the message title is My Song to God. My Song to God. I want you to think for a moment, just as we're starting here. Think about some highlights in your life. You have some? Think about those highlights. For those of us who've been on the earth longer, we should have more. Think about the low lights. Think about the low times. We have a lot. We have a lot of history. I think about, you know, some of the things that I've gone through, some of the experiences, my life experiences. Born in England, raised as a typical British boy in the Northwest, and at 11 years old, we moved to South Africa, which is interesting. I have a picture for you of where I lived.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
When
all that was
mine, yes. No. It's interesting when people talk, when I tell people, I lived in Africa, they think, you know, like jungles and stuff. I remember when I was leaving England, and of course, that was 1974. Is that 74, 73, 74, somewhere around there. I was leaving there, and the kids in my school were giving me a goodbye card. And the goodbye card was handmade. And it was just construction paper, and they are all saying goodbye, and they had a pot, a big cauldron. And Ian was in the pot. And I'll leave your imagination to the rest. We just had no clue what in the world was South Africa, but my mom and dad were taking us down there, and that's where we lived. One of those apartments there, we had, like think about it, you got the... I was a kid growing up in dreary, rainy England for 11 years, and then I landed on the beach. That's a great experience. So every day school was done at 1:30, and I was at the beach. That was great. No, that was some amazing experiences. And of course, other things that we went through there, I mean, seeing real animals and people don't think that lions do not walk those streets, just like polar bears don't walk our streets. But it was an amazing experience, and that's one of the, that's a real highlight for me. Then we moved to Canada. I had my high school years. I loved my high school years here. I feel like it's one of the reasons why I'm able to still work with high schoolers and junior high, because I remember those years so vividly. It was during those years I got saved. That is a highlight for me. A big, big highlight. It was during those years, this happened as well. I got married, which was, I think you've seen this picture before. Some of us had more hair back then. That is not the 1820s, even though it's in black and white. It was a vintage. That was such a highlight for me. I was 21 years old, and my wife was 20. Deb was 20. It's kind of like, what were we doing? But what a highlight. What an amazing experience to go through. I also had experiences of getting fired. You ever been fired from a job? I got fired shortly after we got married. So we got our set. We're all set. We all know what we're going to do. And Deb's working and I'm working. And I walked in one day and they said, "You're gone." I was like, "What?" Well, that was a low light in one sense, but it was a really good experience now that I look back on it. My baptism, I just really, really love my baptism. It was a great experience for me. Having kids, that was so good. I got a picture of my kids here. Those are my three beautiful kids. The one in the middle, the one in the right at the bottom, that's not my kid. That's our dog. But she's such a big part of our family. When we moved from London, Ontario to Toronto, it was a tough move. My kids were a really, really tender age, and that dog really helped my kids to make the transition. Just because their focus could be on the dog. I'm getting emotional again. Okay, something's going on here. Okay, so there are a lot of experiences like this. And of course, I've talked about my illness. I've had this illness now for 20-some years. And it's part of my life story. I can't just say, okay, that's not part of who I am. No, it is part of what I'm going through and what I'm struggling with, and it makes up that story. And of course, just recently, I boast all the time and carry them around. These are my beautiful grandbabies. They are my little penguins. Aren't they the greatest? Oh my goodness. And so, Ian, what are you doing? You have the same stuff going on in your life. They are part of my story. That's my story. And I'm wondering, what about yours? That's why I asked you to think about your highlights and your lowlights and everything else that's been going on in your life. And if you're a Christian, you know the way that your life started. Your life started in a certain way. And the moment that you met God, the trajectory of your life was altered. It's not like, if this was your life, I'm just kind of walking along, and then all of a sudden I met God, and I just kept walking along. You should check. Like, when God interacts, when God intersects with our lives, there should be change. The way you think, the way you feel, the way you are, there should be change. That's our life story. And we're talking this morning about a song that was sung. On the other side of the Red Sea. And I hope you can see this morning that this is like a culmination of all that the children of Israel have gone through. So let me show you these verses. We're going to go through it bit by bit. Let's take my beautiful babies off for a second. Let's get to the Word of God. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." So the children of Israel, they have been in slavery. Moses has come along through God's help and now he's brought them out of Egypt. They've had the Passover and they've come through the Red Sea. Del covered the Red Sea experience last week. Now they're on the other side. They have, in a sense, if you want to look at it spiritually, they've experienced the Passover lamb. They have been, they've been united to the death of Christ. And they've come through the waters of baptism to live a brand new life. Well, now they're on the other side. And this is the song that they begin to sing. Prior to these words, "I will sing to the Lord," prior to that, we had not seen Israel collectively worshiping God. What we had heard what we have seen, a lot of complaining, a lot of pain, a lot of doubt, and it's totally understandable. That was part of their story. That is part of their life story, their life song. And I want you to imagine for a second, there are a million plus people standing on the other shore. And they're all singing this song together. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Can you imagine how powerful that would have been? That would have been amazing. It would have been, it's good it was outside. Because if that was inside, that would have been deafening. What a glory it was to God. So Israel is singing 1 million plus, possibly 2 million strong. But here's my first point this morning that I think is very, very important. It's the reason why I've put this image on the screen. While you can be in a large congregation like you see there, or a large event, the camera is really focused on those people right at the back. And a lot of times when we're in a larger congregation and we're worshiping God, it's easy to get lost in this whole thing we call a church or a congregation. And you can just be looking around and looking, wow, yeah, look, he's got his hands raised and she's bending down on her knees. But look at what is happening here. Those two people have their hands raised, and it's not about having your hands raised. It's they're engaged in worship in spite of the fact all the people are around them. Let me bring you back to the verses that we're focusing in on this morning. Chapter 15, verse 1 says this, I will sing. Do you see the personal nature of this? Yeah, there's a lot of people. You know what? We got about 250 plus people here this morning. Look at the personal nature of this song, I will sing. Someone's right beside me? That's right. But this is the important thing. You have something to sing to God. Don't you? Don't you have something to sing to God? Has he not brought you through things? You should have something to sing to God. Look how personal it is. He is my God. He is my strength. He is my salvation. And I love this. He is my song. God should be your song. The story, the history of you together with God, that should be your song. So you should say, I have something that I want to sing to God. My own personal response. And can I give you a little inside view into God's heart this morning? He wants to hear from you. Yeah, he wants to hear from you. Because it's not just about everybody who's here, it's also about you. He wants to hear from you because you have got something to sing about. So, with all of us sitting here this morning, we should have this thought, God, you are my, and fill it in. We should have that response. How has your week been? How has this past, year been? God, you are my, oh, so many things. You could fill in so many things about what God has done for you, how he's revealed himself to you. And I just so appreciated the worship team this morning. Not that I don't every morning. I love the way that they lead us. But I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm just kind of getting carried away. And I can think, let Madeline do it. She sings way better than me. That's a mistake. Don't ever fall into that trap. Oh, they sing way better than me. I'll just sit here and I'll watch. And God would say, no, but I want to hear from you. I don't care. He says, I don't care how many people are here. I want to hear from you because there's something in you that's got to come out. They all went through Egypt together. They all went through the Passover together. They all went through the Red Sea together. So all of their experience is the same. Why wasn't there just one person who stood up and said, let me sing for everybody? God wants to hear from you because God has done something in you personally and he wants to hear that kind of coming out of you. Well, let me show you some of the other verses. I think that's a really good point for us to begin with. Why I've called this my song to God. Let's continue with verses 3 through 13. Remember, this is a song, it's poetry, so just keep that in mind. The Lord is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. These are the Egyptians. I am going to get them. Remember at the beginning of chapter 14, Pharaoh saying, what have we done? Why did we let these people go who were working for us? What happened? Look at the heart in which they pursue after God's people. I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Verse 10, you blew with the wind. What a great response. They know the Egyptians are bearing down on them. They saw it. They remember it. And they put word to it. And then they say, God, but look how you responded. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the many waters. And I know there's a lot of repetition in this, but it's getting the point across. Look at verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders. You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. And I want to just point out a few things regarding this section. Number one would be this. Did you notice that God is the focus in this song? 10 times, from verse 1, not including the introduction, just the song, 10 times the name Yahweh is mentioned and declared. So every time you see capital L-O-R-D, that's Yahweh. Remember the history of Israel? They had no idea who Yahweh was. Moses had no idea who Yahweh was. Now they really know. They've come from not knowing him to being full in full praise and worship of him. This song is about him. Not only is there 10 direct mentionings of the name Yahweh, there's also another 35 personal pronouns that talk about God. 45 times in this song, God is mentioned. God is the focus. God should be the focus of our worship. And what's interesting here is Moses is not mentioned at all. Now, we all know Moses is a great man. Moses has done some great things. Plagues have come through him and, you know, through his hand and all that kind of stuff. Moses is not mentioned. And I think there's some insight for us when we look at that. Look at verse 11 again. If you can just bring up the verse by itself. We should have this thought. God, Yahweh, who is like you? who is like you? In other words, there is nobody. There is no equal. There is nobody, no man, no woman, no ministry, nothing deserves to be elevated to the point of worship. God alone deserves our worship. And so many times we get caught. God alone deserves our worship. Remember in the New Testament, when Jesus is up on the mountain with a couple of his close disciples, and all of a sudden Jesus just begins to shine. We call this the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter's there, and he's like, okay, I have no idea what to do, because there's Moses, and there's Jesus, and there's Elijah. And Moses is, and so Peter's like, okay, I'm going to make three little tabernacles here, and we'll worship all three of you. And all of a sudden, things changed. Do you remember that? And do you remember what God said? Here's what he said in Luke chapter 9. A voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And then the cloud's gone, and all you see is Jesus. It's easy for us to elevate men, elevate people who have maybe helped us in the past, or, you know, oh, wow, you know, they really helped me when I was down, or they really helped me in my understanding. That's fine. It's fine to recognize that. But we do not worship them. We do not owe them. Amen? Amen? Who deserves worship? God alone. Have a quote for you from Matthew Henry, very old commentator. He said this, he's talking about this particular song. He says, it is a holy, consecrated song to the honor of God and intended to exalt his name and celebrate his praise and his only. But don't miss the last part. Not in the least to magnify any man. Maybe it's good for you to check this morning. Is there somebody, whether it's your present or your past, that you're elevating? It's dangerous. We can be very thankful for the help that we get from people. Let me give you an experience that I went through. I was with a church for a while, and unfortunately, I mean, when I first started, it was really awesome because, you know, these people really knew God's word well, and I appreciated how they could give me the insight into the Bible like I hadn't seen before. It was amazing. I just really, really loved it. But, you know, slowly but surely, I realized, wait a second here, we're speaking less and less about God and the Bible, and we're speaking more and more about a certain man. And whenever we would get together in church meetings, people would use his name more than God's name. Do you see a problem with that? And it dawned on me and a number of other people, well, something's wrong here. And then that person passed away, and there were some other people say, well, we'll take his place. And now they want their name elevated in the same way that he had his name elevated. Brothers and sisters, please, we need to wake up. There is only one person who deserves worship. That is God alone. Shame on us if we are elevating any person. If any of you ever came to me and said something like that, I seriously would rebuke you. We do not deserve what God alone deserves. Then I would say, you know, in light of this whole thought of God being the focus in this song, in our worship, let's just take our worship this morning. We sang three songs. Rejoice, sang The Stand, which some of you may or may not be familiar with, but I'll stand with arms high and hearts abandoned. Whether you have your hands up, you know, that's, we're not checking off. Nigel, did you have your hands raised? Just one. Oh, next week it should be two. Okay. And then, you know, we just, how great is our God? Now, here's my challenge to you. Here's my question to you this morning. When you were singing, were you singing about God? Or were you singing to God? There's a difference. Now you could say, "Well, Ian, technically, I was singing about God and to God," and I'd be okay with that. What I'm concerned about is that we're just here in body, and the words are coming out of our mouths, and maybe our hands are even raised, and yet our heart is not engaged. I have the opportunity many times to, you know, to be in the back or whatever, and so I have an interesting perspective on all of you. Because I'm not standing here every week. I'm back there. So I watch. I watch what happens. And you know, it hurts me. I'm not going to lie. It hurts my heart when I realize we have about 20 minutes of collective worship together. And people are not worshiping, they're talking to each other. Why? This should be, we should see this as something so precious. I get to worship with Madeline and Bob and Mark and Carol. I don't get to do that Monday morning. Don't talk. When you come in this room, could you see this room as a place? And I'm not talking about, let's not make this place holy or anything like that. It's just, when you come in this room, can you come in with conviction? You know what? I don't want to disturb Clement because he has a song to sing. There's another example. Thank you, Regina. She got to my next example. She's trying to keep me going here. You know, I see it. Like, these wonderful gadgets that we have got, they're amazing. Could you please not use them during this time? Nothing is that important. Worship God alone. Let me go a little further. Sorry, this is what is on my heart. I'm going to share with you what's on my heart. What also hurts me, what also bothers me when it comes to worship, and again, I'm so jealous for this time because I realize it's an opportunity. I realize there are people who need to be out there because they're cleaning up and they're serving us, but there are some of us who stay out there too long. In fact, we don't come in here until the singing is over. Why would you miss this time? Why would you miss this opportunity of worship? Be jealous that each one who comes in here could have a chance to focus on God. Amen? Amen. Let me just clear something up. I'm not angry at anybody. I'm not. I just so want you to have rich experiences of who God is, and we can have those a lot of times when we come together like this. Let me talk about verse 13, because there it says that God has led us in his steadfast love, the people that he has redeemed, and he is guiding us. He has guided and he is guiding us to come to his holy abode. As you look at your life, do you see God's hand at work? I look at some of you, and I've known you for such a long time, and I know. I mean, I could probably tell some of your stories, not in detail like you could, but I can tell some of your stories, and that's okay. But when you look at your life, and you know all the things that has happened, can you see God's work? That is your song. That is your song. And of course, the question now becomes, how long is your song? That's a tough question. That is a really hard question. If you would ask me, Ian, how long is your song? I'm like, probably not long enough. Probably missed a couple of opportunities that I could have surrendered more to Christ over the years. So, you know, if we're new to the Christian faith, your song is going to be relatively short. And there's no problem with that. You do not have to say, well, I don't have as long a song as Ian. It's okay. You don't have to. I was saved in 1981. That's before some of you were born. Don't laugh, Madeline. I just dated myself? Oh, yeah, it's okay. Think these things. How long is my song? Think about what happened last Sunday morning. We had baptisms here. We had three brothers who were baptized. And we heard from Harry and we heard from Stephen. And each one of them gave us a quick 4-year song in about 5 minutes. That's theirs. We got to hear it and it was great, but that's their song. Do you have a stanza in your song for the sacrifice that Jesus made for your sins? Do you have a stanza like that? Do you have a stanza of Him saving you? Do you have a stanza about His grace and His forgiveness? Do you have words in your song about His faithfulness and His patience? Israel did. Israel said, He is my God. He is my salvation. Oh, it could go on. It's like my rock, my strength. It goes on and on and on. You and I, brothers and sisters, we need to get clear on our song. Recognize we have got a song. Well, as we were considering this, I appreciate, you know, when we put these messages together, we do it collectively. This is not one person's job. Del, Nigel, and I, we get together. We're together with Jane on Wednesday mornings, and it's a real collective effort, and I really appreciated something that Jane offered this week. It was something that was in my heart, and I just had not brought it out, and she helped a lot. And she said, you know, Ian, what about the people who are going through really tough times? What about those people? Because, you know, they may not even feel like singing. Anybody been there? Yeah, me, for sure. Do I have something to sing when I'm going through a difficult time? And the answer to that is yes, you do. Think about the Psalms for a second. The Psalms, some of the Psalms, I've just been doing a little morning time with the Lord recently, just going through one Psalm a day. It's been a wonderful journey. But listen to some of these words that the psalmist said. How long, Lord? Does that sound happy? How long, Lord? Here's another one. Help, Lord! Here's another one. Lord, why do you stand so far away? That's David's song. And I believe it's your song as well. Sometimes we think, no, that's not my song, but it is part of your song. That's why I asked you, what are your highlights? And we all like, yeah, I got married. But what are your low lights? Because in your low lights, the low times, that's part of your song as well. Some of us think, well, you know, I know the way it was at the Red Sea. They were like jumping. Okay, this is really hard for me. Jumping. No, English people just don't dance, I guess. I don't know where it is. You know, like jumping and dancing. I appreciate that. And sometimes you think, that's what worship should look like. Oh, that's really tough. when I'm saying things like, "Help, Lord!" It's good to sing when I'm buoyant. It's good to sing when I'm low. Worship has many, many faces. I want to conclude in this way. There's a bright, bright future at the end of this song. Don't know if you've ever noticed it before, but it's pretty startling. Look at chapter 15, 14 through 18. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Now, this is talking about going forward. This is really, really important. Talking about going forward. Now they're at the Red Sea. They've passed the Red Sea. Now they are in freedom. They're free from Egypt, free from slavery. And God says, it's not over. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. That's a people group. For those of you who know Goliath in the Old Testament, that's where he's from. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness, God, of your arm. They are still as stone till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established, the Lord will reign forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
We have a bright future. Our future is not there. We're going to stay forever at the Red Sea. That's not it. That's a stanza in your song. But God has got so much more planned for you. And you should have confidence as you go forward that your God is this kind of God. So our journey is not over at the water's edge. What about us as a church? What does our journey look like going forward? Here we are in Toronto. Love this city. What is God calling us to do as we go forward? Can we have bright, bright future ahead of us? Yes, if the Lord is the center. The Lord is the one who's guided us and brought us this far, and the Lord is the one who's going to take us further on. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And you should know this for yourself. God has a purpose for you. Is your life centered on Him? That's the best life. A life that's centered on Him. Well, this song ends rather interestingly because it says, you know, that God should be the king forever and ever. And we would think, amen, let's go home. But that didn't happen for Miriam. Look at what Miriam did. So in the last two verses of this song, and there's a little bit of a break in between, it says, then Miriam the prophetess, the song of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand. We need some tambourines. I didn't bring any tambourines this morning. That would be great if we had some tambourines. She took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. No British people in that group, I'll tell you right now. And Miriam sang to them. And look what she sings. Exactly the same thing. She's encouraging them. Sing. Sing. Sing to the Lord. For He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider He has thrown into the sea. Well, I know I don't look female this morning. But if I could be your Miriam, I'd be happy with that. Let me be your Miriam and say to you, sing. Sing to the Lord. You should have a joyful life. What
You could have a stanza in your song this afternoon. I hope this meeting right here is a highlight for you and is a stanza for you. But you could have much, much more. There's more. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Yeah, maybe there's no horse and rider for you. Don't worry about that. There's something. There's something, and God has triumphed gloriously. Will you keep singing? Amen. Keep singing. Amen. Keep singing unto him. Let's pray. Amen. Father, thank you so much for what you've done among us this morning. Thank you for those interactions you've had with us. Thank you for speaking right into our hearts this morning. And we just want to praise you and thank you and love you for what you have done. But God, we say thank you for what you are going to do. There's more to come. The best is yet to come. We're not looking backwards. We're looking forwards to see, God, what you will do in this coming year. We're filled with expectation. And may our lives be filled with singing and praise and worship to you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow, that's good.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
What am I supposed to say now?
All the time.
God is good. All right. Okay, good. We are done. We'll be back here again next Sunday morning. Thank you so much for coming.